This evening I want to share with us a lesson entitled, Living by the Word. Living by the Word. Matthew chapter 4, familiar passages to us about the temptation of Jesus that he endured for 40 days. Of course, Luke's gospel says that he was tempted for 40 days. When he first got into the wilderness, Satan was on his job. He was offering him temptation. We don't know what the manner of those temptations were. But I would just suppose that perhaps each one was getting a little bit heavier and heavier, so to speak. These last three that we have reported after he was hungry perhaps were the ones that Satan thought would truly get it. The Bible says in Matthew 4 in verse number 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And you would note, I'm sure, that this is not long after his baptism. That's why we say many times to new converts that Satan is really going to be on you now that you have obeyed the gospel. So it's right after his baptism. Of course, Jesus was not baptized to obey the gospel, but just making that point. He was led up into the wilderness, the Bible says, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Notice what Jesus says in his answer. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, it's a sad commentary of the times in which we are living now. Of course, it just didn't start now, but seem to be getting more and more that way. But people have little respect for the Word of God. They don't believe it, and of course they don't respect it, because they don't want to hear it exactly. Because they don't see the benefits of adhering to the Word of God. But as we have sung that song tonight, Whispering Hope, if we don't adhere to the Word of God, we don't have any hope. So it's important for us then to believe the Word of God and to live by the Word of God. For again, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. Was Jesus hungry? The Bible says he was hungry. Just from our experiences, we know, I don't think perhaps none of us have gone without bread for 40 days. But just from our experiences, we would know that he would be a hungry man. So as children of God, then, we must hold fast to the precious word of our Lord. And I said already that many do not recognize or respect, hold to the word of God, and so therefore they live their lives the way they want to live them, not according to the word of God. That's why you see more and more of the alternate lifestyle, the same-sex marriages. You see more and more people, they don't worry about getting married anymore. They just live together. Many people are engaged in immoral sexual behavior. Many people have unforgiven spirits. There are even those who are unconcerned with their spiritual growth, as we talked about growth. On and on the list could go. That would demonstrate the fact that people, many people, have little or no respect for the Word of God. So again, therefore, they live their lives according to their dictates. We can't do that. As children of God, we can't do that. The Word provides for us the roadmap from earth to glory. And I dare not travel this road without God's Word. I know we have the GPSs now. In the olden days, we had the maps. If you don't know where you're going, you better have some type of direction already charted out, because it'll be hard to stumble upon where you're trying to go. And nobody can stumble up in heaven. We must follow the roadmap from earth to heaven. This is a very elementary lesson tonight, but we need these lessons to keep us reminded of how important the Word of God is, so that we don't fall victim to Satan, like so many has already, in thinking that we don't need the Word of God, that we can make it on our own and be pleasing in God's sight. It is the very means by which we develop our faith. How can we be faithful if we don't know how to be faithful? Again, Jesus says, be faithful unto death. But if I don't know how to be faithful, how can I ever expect to be faithful unto death? It takes God's Word to tell me what faith is all about, and that's how I'll develop my faith, is through the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, as Paul writes to the church at Rome, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings, good things. Verse 16 says this. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Paul, Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Well, then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So there's no way then that we can live our lives and be pleasing to God without God's Word, because that's how we develop faith. And the Bible says, as we know it so well, that it's impossible, Hebrews 11 and 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. We must have faith if we're going to please God, and every one of us tonight ought to want to please God. Because without pleasing him, we could never be saved. God's Word is so important. It's so necessary. While we may be hungry physically, we need to also be hungry spiritually. Because Jesus says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We ought to be thirsty people after righteousness. In other words, we ought to just be wanting to do right. But again, how can we ever do right and be right if we don't know what is right? We can't devise in our own mind what's right. God had to tell us what's right. So I'm thankful tonight, and I'm sure you're thankful tonight, for God's Word. God could have left us just floundering in this world, trying to find our own way. But he knew we couldn't find it. Therefore, because he loved us and because he was gracious to us, he gave us his word. And that's why I believe Paul, when he was writing, or rather talking to those Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, when he says, I commend you to God and the word of his grace. We have his word because of his grace. Thank God, then, for God's grace. So without faith and without the word, we could never please God. So do you want to please God? I know the answer is yes. In order to please God, then we must live by his word. So we can understand why Jesus would say to the tempter or to the devil that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we ought to be hungry. We ought to be thirsty after God's word. Don't be like those people in John chapter 6, I believe it is, who had witnessed all of the miracles, not all of the miracles, but had witnessed the miracle of feeding the multitude of people. Jesus left them, and he went over the other side of the sea or the lake. And they came chasing after him. Jesus, knowing their heart, he said, John 6, down about verse 27, he says, labor not for the meat that perish, but for the word that endures forever lasting. He said, you didn't come looking for me because of the miracles, but you came because you ate and you were full. So many people have the wrong understanding when it comes to pleasing God. We've got to please God not because of how he has blessed us materially. We're thankful, yes, how he blesses us materially. But we've got to please God by adhering to his word. And if he chooses to bless us, that's a bonus. He doesn't have to bless us. But if we want to be saved, we must adhere to the word of God. So by the word of God, then, develop our faith. Also, by the word of God is the means by which our souls are converted. Again, I've said already that we can never please God without his word. So his word, then, is the means by which our souls are converted. And if our souls are never converted, then certainly our sins will never be blotted out, and we'll never be able to please God. Listen to what was said to those people. As Peter said to them in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, he said, repent therefore and be converted. For what reason? That your sins may be blotted out. The time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Do we need our sins blotted out? Yes, indeed. Because our sins takes us away from God. And our sins takes us farther and farther away from God. We don't need to go farther away from God. One sin gets us far enough. We need to get as close to God as we can. And the only way to do that, again, is to live by his word. When we talk about repentance, we know what repentance means. It means a change of heart, a change of mind. And in order then for us to get close to God, our mind's got to change. It's got to change from our way of thinking to God's way of thinking. We don't ever change from God's way of thinking. We'll never be converted. Our sins will never be blotted out. But I said the word, I started off by saying the word is the means by which our souls are converted. That's why, again, we ought to be so thankful for the word of God. In the Old Testament, Psalms said it like this. The writer of Psalm 19 and verse number 7, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's equivalent to the word of the Lord. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect. Doing what? Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making wise the simple. God's word is perfect. It will do what it is designed to do. However, as I caution us on many occasions, it won't do it against our will. We got to be willing to receive God's word and obey it. That's why when Peter wrote those 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, he says there, seeing you have purified your soul, how did you do it, Peter? In obeying the truth. Our souls will never be purified unless we obey the truth. The truth of the word has the power to convert our souls. Again, we need that converting power, our conversion power of the word of God. Repentance, as we've said, must take place. There must be a new direction that we set out to go. We must recognize that our direction is not the right direction, but we must seek to know the direction that God would have for us to know. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon, as the Bible says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says, do what? Repent. Change your mind. Change your way of thinking. Repent, he says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. The word of God is the means by which our souls are converted. If our souls are never converted, our sins are never blotted out, and we'll never be able to please God. No wonder Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And everything that God wants us to do to please him is contained in the word of God. The scripture was given for that very purpose. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Excuse me, 17. It says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable, the Bible says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For what purpose? That the man of God may be what? Perfect, or complete, or mature. Perfect. Thoroughly furnished. Having everything that we need for every good work. Everything that God wants us to do to please him is contained in the word of God. So we don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to suppose. Just study God's word and find out what it is he wants us to do. Everything that is necessary for life, that is to live this life as we should, and to live a godly life, is contained in the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things, not some things, not most things, not almost all things, but all things, that means everything, that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us, glory and virtue. So tonight, brothers and sisters, it is senseless, it is vain to try to please God on our own. Abraham and Sarah, we know that story. Or this story that I'm about to share, I'm sure. Tried to please God in their own way. God had made a promise. What was his promise? That he was going to give them a son. They came up with a grand idea themselves. Because of their age and because they hadn't had the son, they came up with an idea. This is the way we can do it. Tried it their way. God says that's not the right way. Of course, they had the son. And the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 17, verse number 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Oh, this is the son that you need to work with. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. The covenant would never be established with Ishmael. God's plan was to establish his covenant with Isaac. Abraham and Sarah wanted him to establish the covenant with Ishmael. But what they did was all in vain. Same thing happened to Nadab and Abihu. They tried it on their own. But you know what happened to them. When they presented this strange fire that the Lord had commanded them not in Leviticus chapter 10, the Bible says a fire came down from heaven and devoured them. I tell us tonight that it is senseless, it is vain to try to figure out how to please God. There's no need, as a matter of fact, there's no need to try to figure it out. I've already shared with us that everything he wants us to do to please him, he has given it to us. So why take off in another direction and try to do it on our own? Lastly tonight, I've referred to this verse already in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. The word of God will fill us up in the most holy faith. And in the world in which we live today, as we are filled with challenge after challenge after challenge, we need some encouragement. We need some hope. And I'm glad we sang that song tonight concerning hope. We need some hope. That's why Paul said to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 15, and he was referring to Old Testament scriptures, but even in the New Testament, we got scriptures that's full of hope. He said, the things that were written for us were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God wants us to go through this world having hope. Thank God for his word. But you know what? Satan don't want us to wrap our arms around that hope that God gives us. He wants us to be disheartened. He wants us to be discouraged, because he knows that if we are disheartened enough, we will eventually give up and we'll stop trying. When we do that, he got us exactly where he wants us. So I say to us tonight, let's continue to be thankful for the word of God. I don't care how much we hear the noise that the Bible is irrelevant, that the Bible is out of date, that we don't need the word of God. Let's ignore that and keep on ignoring that and realize what Jesus said to say. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's nothing better than the word of God. It has no equal. So let us trust it. Let us live by it. Because after all, we're going to be judged by it. Don't make sense to ignore something that we're going to be judged by. I would rather put my trust in the word of God. Knowing, as the teacher would say a long time ago, we're going to see it again. So let's be glad and let's be thankful for the word of God. So when we stand before Jesus in that last day, we want to hear him say, well done. But if we've gone through life having been deceived by Satan, thinking that we don't need the word of God, therefore we're going to reject what the word of God says. But Jesus says this in John 12 and verse 48. You know that verse, and you've heard me quote it many a times. Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word has one that judges them. For the words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. Jesus got his words from God. He went on in that passage, or in those passages, he says, for I have not spoken to you of myself, but the one that sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandments are life everlasting. So when the devil, whatever agent he used, when he send those agents to you and to me, trying to get us to turn loose from the word of God, let's say just like Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you trust God's word? Continue to trust God's word. Be faithful unto death. Jesus said, I'll give you a crown of life. If you're here tonight and you need to respond for any reason, I want to encourage you to do that. Do that right now while we stand.